Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. So we're in a series titled Life on Mission, and the whole purpose of this series is just to get our life online in line with what God is doing in the world. In John chapter 17, the verse that was just read, Jesus is praying. John 17, the entire chapter is just a prayer of Jesus. And he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So in the same way that you've given me a mission in the world, I have given them a mission in the world. In Luke 19, verse 11, Jesus says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That basically is a summary of his mission. That's what he came to do, to seek and to save the lost. And this is also our mission. Jesus gave us this mission. When he rose from the dead, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, Jesus said, verse 8, you shall be my disciples, right? And so Jesus is calling them to go into the world. And so his mission for us is clear. Salt. Light. Go. That's what Jesus is instructing us to do. So last week we talked about some action steps that we could take for that lesson as we talked last week about connecting. And we saw God connecting with the world when Jesus connected with Matthew and then went to Matthew's house and they had that party. And many, many other tax collectors and sinners were able to hear the gospel. And I asked, who is it that God has laid on your heart that you feel a need to connect with? Who is that person? We've got to connect with them and then throw a party as we saw last week. Or have a cup of coffee. Whatever that might mean. Have a dinner. Just invite them over. This is a simple way. You see, God has given us one mission. Just one mission. And people don't always do it right. That is not the way you put a banister on. That's the way I would put one on, but that's not the way you're supposed to do it. I mean, that guy had one job. So did this guy. Just follow the arrow. Don't worry, just follow the arrow, you know. And then this guy's boss was getting on him because there was cars coming into his lot, and this is a private lot, and he didn't want people coming in. So he wanted him to put up a gate. So he did. One job. Like, who's that going to stop, right? One job. But listen, we have one job. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Share is what we're talking about. Because once you connect with people, then you have to share with them. At some point, you have to mention God, right? At some point, you have to talk to them about Christ. You see, what God has in store for people is really, really, really good. In fact, over in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, you know, that our present sufferings are unworthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. When all the complaining we do sometimes and what we go through here, when we get to the other side, we're going to think, oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe I complained. You know, when you think about what God has in store for you and what God has in store for people, we have good news. And good news is easy to share. You take, for example, when you're sold on a product, what do? You tell people about that product, right? I mean, anytime you find a product that really does something great, you just have a tendency to want to tell others, hey, have you heard about this? Have you ever used this? Have you ever had one of these? And it's so easy to share good news. It's just easy. If we believe that this is good news, it should be easy. The early church believed it was good news, and the early church preached Jesus everywhere. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. That's the disciples. We have to tell. We can't hold it back. We can't stop ourselves. Penn Jillette, he's a magician, has a show on TV called Fool Us. Penn and Teller, Fool Us. Penn is an atheist. He's an atheist. And he said, if Christians really believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, they would tell people. If they really believed it, they would tell people. And then he went on with this sucker punch. How much do you have to hate people not to tell them about Jesus? I mean, if you know He's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way, how much you have to hate somebody to not tell them about Jesus? That's powerful, coming from an atheist. And he said, this is the biggest reason why I'm an atheist. Because Christians don't believe it. Because if they did, they would tell people. The fact that they're not telling says they do not believe. Christianity is not an exclusive club. It's for everyone. God loves all people. He wants all people to be in a relationship with Him. That's Romans chapter 10 should be 10:13, not 1:13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, Paul says. But then he goes on to say, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so Paul says, you know, it takes people. At some point, we have to talk. At some point, we have to tell people what God has done in Jesus Christ. And so last week we saw, you know, God connecting with the world and our need to connect with people. You got to connect first before you can share. But in the Bible, you take the book of Acts. Acts and sharing, they go together. They go together in perfect harmony. And you see, when God opens up a door, we must be ready to walk through that door. And you don't have to have the most interesting and exciting story to share with some in order to bring them the faith in Christ. I think all of us should have a story of how we came to know God. Each story is unique. Each story is different. And each story should have at its core the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. If it doesn't, then your story won't convict and it can't draw people to God and it won't save anybody. It's the gospel that saves. So any story has to have as its core the gospel, what Jesus did to redeem man. But each one of us have a story of how God came into our lives. And it's easy to tell people how God came into your life. I can't tell your story. And you can't tell my story, only you can tell that story. But some people think you got to have a real bad story, you know, for it to really be effective. You know, I was raised by a pack of wolves, you know, or something. Or I was half eaten by a great white shark and survived. Or you don't have to have a story like that. You don't have to. You can just say, I was a mean old man and Christ came into my life and He changed me. You know, I mean, it's simple. It's simple. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out story. But at some point, we have to use words. We have to use words to talk to people. Listen to what Peter says. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you yet with gentleness and reverence. And so Peter says we're supposed to always be ready. Our hearts are supposed to be ready to share the gospel with every person that asks about our hope. We should be ready to talk to them. You know, in John chapter 9, we encounter this blind man. He was born blind. And he was born blind in order that God might be glorified. And Jesus encounters this blind man. And Jesus spits on the ground. And he takes the dirt and he makes some clay out of the spittle and the dirt. And he anointed his eyes. And he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did. And he was able to see. He was no longer blind. Jesus healed this blind man. You know, the explanation of the blind man. He just simply said, look, I was blind. A man named Jesus came along. He anointed my eyes. And now I see. That's his story. It's not difficult. Jesus made the difference in me. Jesus Christ healed my blindness. We don't have to, you know, have these sophisticated theological concepts. You know, he didn't say the eternal Logos who always existed with God and was God, and he became incarnate. And as a man, he went to the cross, and his death was a propitiation for our sins. He didn't say all of that. He said, I was blind and Jesus gave me sight. It was simple, and that's what happened. Jesus made the difference in this man's life. And he can make the difference in your life too. You see, we don't have to know everything. We don't have to. I mean, were there woodpeckers on the ark? I mean, that's interesting to think about. You know, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? I mean, there are kinds of questions. We don't know, and we don't have to know. We just need. I was a sinner, and a man named Jesus came into my life, and he changed it. It's simple. It's not difficult, but we make it so hard. There are tough questions, and questions that I don't know the answer to, and probably will never know the answer to, and that's probably the case with you as well. That blind, you know, in John chapter 9, you know, this man had an out. When they said, are you the blind man? He could have said, no, I'm not him. But he didn't. But he had his out. But he didn't. He said, I was blind. A man named Jesus anointed my eyes. And now I see. And so, action step. Here it is. Prepare, rehearse, practice, and share your story. Tell people how Jesus came into your life, how Jesus made a difference, how Jesus saved you. That's all we simply do. It's a simple way of sharing the gospel. I think it's the most effective way to share the gospel because you're literally telling people that Jesus Christ changed my life. And that's the gospel. We can't change our own lives. We can't take our own sin away. And the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And our sin has separated us from Him. And unless that sin is forgiven, we will die lost. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why we need Christ. Because He's the only one who can forgive your sins. His death was for that very purpose. His death was a propitiation. That is a sacrifice of atonement. His death was on behalf of all of us. He was righteous. We were unrighteous. He gave His righteous life for the unrighteous. What's Peter said? He died the just for the unjust. That we might draw near to God or come near to God. Maybe you need Jesus today. Because you're distant from Him. You've never come to Him for forgiveness in the past. And so if you have not, then you are separated from Him. And you need Him because He is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. So we invite you today to come to Jesus. Or if you have any other need, whatever that need is, make it known as we stand together and sing.